You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Border is secure. The border is closed. We've been unequivocal in that, and we are operationalizing our processes, executing our plans. We are a nation of laws, and we treat vulnerable children humanely. We can do it, and we are doing it.
Well, those are the words of Alexandria Mayorkas, our Department of Homeland Security Secretary. This is March 22nd, 2021. Now, Mayorkas appearing on a Chris Wallace program over the weekend. And they got into a pretty good challenge back and forth. And I'm going to have to give credit to Chris Wallace for how he handled it. He did not let him off the hook. You're going to hear that a little bit later. But the main point he's saying again is that we have everything under control. We have everything under control. Here's where we have been now for days and days as thousands continue to come across the border illegally. It's crisis. It's a chaos, any of those words, but those are not the words the Democrats want to use, not in the Biden administration. They want words like a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, it's not that big of a deal. And yet they had to activate FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, to go down and start helping care for many of those at the border. Because the local towns couldn't do it. They don't have any way to do it. They don't have any help at all. Even Mayorkas asked members of the Department of Homeland Security to volunteer to go down there. Are they going to get paid while they're down there? Do you think they'd really volunteer? I'm not sure where that goes. But the bottom line is they are trying to sanitize this entire story. And the other key, no pictures. No pictures, no reporting. Not at least with any cooperation from the Biden administration. And Biden was asked, when are you going to go to the border? And if so, when? His answer, kind of noncommittal. You know, I'm aware of things. I've seen the pictures that were brought back by my team. I know what's going on. He has no idea what's going on. And it's getting to the point where even members of the left are beginning to turn on Biden because we're not seeing, quote, transparency, which he promised we would see in this administration. I'm looking at a piece written here that says that the left, this is the Daily Beast, by the way, starting to turn on Biden over a lack of transparency regarding the crisis along the Mexican border. Other liberals are peeved that he hasn't conducted a formal press conference for 2 months. Well, a veteran White House correspondent is quoted by the Daily Beast, and again, this is one who anonymously wanted to trash the Biden administration for not holding a press conference. He said, it's a problem. Who are we kidding here? More than 2 months without a press conference? Come on. Well, more than that, of course, he's not dealing with what's at the border. They want to tell you that we've got it under control. We've taken care of it. Let me give you something to consider. According to the Border Patrol is stating that last month, the cartels running the smuggling rings, both for human and drugs, because they're mixing them in, they estimate they were making $14 million a day. The Biden administration basically helping fund the drug cartels. And the human trafficking, a major issue. And some of those who pay thousands to be brought by the coyotes across our border, or at least to the edge where then they walk across, sometimes they're still owing money. They work off some of the money by carrying drugs in, and hopefully they don't get caught with it. The other way is once they're inside the U.S., if they get to stay, they are under rules of slavery, indebted servitude. You think slavery is gone in this country? Liberals, I think you need to be stepping up and making some noise over it, because right now we are having an increase in slavery every day with these illegals coming across because they are indebted to those who got them here. And they will have to pay it off. We're going to get into that in more detail. Also, Gordon G. Chang is going to join us, an expert on China and U.S. relations. The frosty meeting that took place in Alaska last week as we began diplomatic talks. On one hand, I thought, you know, that Blinken, our Secretary of State, did a pretty good job. But those who know really how this diplomacy should be played out say he failed on several points. And China, they're ecstatic. They think, once again, they have the upper hand. And Gordon Chang may well agree. I think you want to hear his points. That'll be coming up also over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Walk out the door. Just turn around now. Cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with your spy? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The day after President Biden took office, he made this promise to the American people. Take a look.
Vice President Harris and I and our entire administration will always be honest and transparent with you about both the good news and the bad.
So why has the Biden administration refused to allow reporters to see for themselves and to record what the conditions are under which these miners are being housed? Why, in fact, did you, when you went to the border on Friday and led a congressional delegation, why did you refuse to allow reporters to see the conditions under which these miners are being held?
Two things, Chris, if I may. Number one, let's not forget that we're in the midst of a pandemic.
Of course. Oh, my God, I forgot. We're in the midst of a pandemic. That's Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, in an interview with Chris Wallace over the weekend. And as you heard Wallace pointed out, we played a clip of Biden from earlier saying we're going to have a fully transparent presidency. And Wallace is beginning to pick up that question that you're not allowing any photographers, reporters, to see the camps where you have these children and others. Do you remember those pictures coming out when Trump was in office? Of course you do. I mean, they made sure that photographers and reporters got in. And if they didn't get the pictures they wanted, they took pictures from the Obama era and put them up as if they were the Trump pictures, when in fact they were not. They were from the Obama years. Kids in cages. The pictures from Obama. But here in this case, we're not getting any pictures, not getting any reports, because a transparent White House under the Biden administration is not so transparent. It's like trying to look through a glass of dark mud. You don't see anything on the other side. And they're not going to let you see it until they decide We have it sanitized. You can come in and look. And you look at the – we are getting the same treatment in our own country in trying to see what's happening at the border as the World Health Organization and its inspectors got when it went to China and Wuhan to look at the China virus origin. And the inspectors were a week in quarantine, a week of meetings, and they still did not get in to see the labs. They were basically handed a report that says, here's what we found, and that's according to the Chinese. What we're getting now is what the Biden administration wants us to know. If what we already know without going in is as bad as it is, riddle me this, how bad do you think it must be inside? But they're apparently very busy cleaning it up, and we got to have an excuse. Well, the most obvious excuse is COVID. I heard Mayorkas say that. I said I could have written that for him yesterday, and he probably did write it the day before he went to see Wallace because he knew he was going to be asked. I think the exchange is good enough because Wallace, to his credit, did not let him off the hook. So I'm going to take a longer soundbite than we normally would. I want you to hear the exchange as Chris Wallace was talking to the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, asking, why aren't we allowed in? Now, let me clarify something real quick. You're going to hear a reference to a pool camera. Pool camera normally means, okay, you don't want a lot of reporters or photographers in. Okay, one camera crew goes in from one particular network. They draw straws. And maybe a reporter either from that network or another one, or a print reporter, or a then a pool photographer that takes still pictures is picked and goes in. So they do it, and then they have to make sure they share it with everyone else before they even put it up on their own source. That's the way a pool operation runs. So you don't have to have a horde of reporters and cameras all over the camp. You just have to allow one camera for electronic television, broadcast, internet, whatever, one still photographer so they can meet their needs, and a reporter, either directly from print or from one of those two. That's how a pool arrangement works. That's still not going to happen. So once again, let's go back to this interview as Chris Wallace was pushing Mayorkas on, where is your transparency?
So why has the Biden administration refused to allow reporters to see for themselves and to record what the conditions are under which these miners are being housed? Why, in fact, did you, when you went to the border on Friday and led a congressional delegation, why did you refuse to allow reporters to see the conditions under which these miners are being held?
Two things, Chris, if I may. Number one, let's not forget that we're in the midst of a pandemic, and we are focused on our operations, executing our operations in a crowded Border Patrol facility where hundreds of vulnerable migrant children are located, number one. And number two, we're working on providing footage so that the American public can see the Border Patrol stations. And I would encourage you and other reporters to see the facilities under the control of the Health and Human Services Department, where those children are sheltered and where they belong and where we are moving them as quickly as possible.
Secretary Mayorkas, respectfully, sir, I think that there is a safe condition under which a pool reporter and a pool camera crew could go into some of these facilities. This has been going on for 2 months now, and record the conditions under which these miners are being held. It seems to me to say it's impossible to do because of COVID sounds like an excuse.
Chris, we're working on providing access so that individuals will be able to see what the conditions in a Border Patrol station are like. But first things first, we are in the midst of a pandemic and we're focused on operations and executing on our plans. That's our highest priority. But we are providing for that access. And certainly reporters can see the Department of Health and Human Services facilities in which children are sheltered for a longer period of time.
Yeah, you can see them when we're ready. And you'll get to see them when we're ready. Do you hear anything in there that says we're going to make sure that things are escalated so you can quickly get some answers? The answer is no. The answer is no. So Now we have a new word that is being used, at least by Nancy Pelosi, to describe what's happening at the border. Let me correct that. It wasn't Pelosi, it was Jen Psaki. She, by the other day, stumbled and called it a crisis. By she was talking and said crisis and just kept moving. Reporters pulled her back and said, a moment ago you said crisis. Have you changed the definition? No. Challenge. Still challenge. Well, now they're saying this. Not a crisis. Get this. I mean, I told you, somebody's using a thesaurus. They've got a big thesaurus. I think they're making up words as they go along. A thesaurus, of course, is where you find synonyms, similar words, or antonyms, those against. But a crisis, we went through the other day, various, you could have a crisis, you could have a challenge, as they use. You could have a mess. They've used that with Trump. Here's what they're saying. They're now calling it a C word, not a crisis. They're calling it a circumstance. We have a circumstance as thousands of children unaccompanied are entering our country. We'll not call it a crisis. And Mayorkas insists again, as he was talking to Wallace, we have a very clear message we want to point out for all those families who are sending their kids here or want to make the trip with their kids. Here is what he says is a very clear message.
We are encouraging families not to send their children along the dangerous journey because so many do not make it safely. We are encouraging them not to do so. Yet, if they arrive at the border, we have a responsibility to allow them to make their claims under United States law and to address, these are vulnerable children, to address their needs. And we can do so in a safe and orderly manner. It takes time because the entire system was dismantled. We are working on it and we will succeed because that is what we do.
That is what we do. Now, you heard him say the entire system is dismantled. They're blaming Trump again. They say, we came in, it was a mess. You know it was not a mess. You know we still had an order in place by President Trump. If you're coming for asylum in this country, you stay in Mexico, and we'll take the paperwork, we'll adjudicate and decide if you can come in. Mexico was agreeing to house them there at that point. That was an agreement Trump had with Mexico. Yes, he kind of used a little whip on them and said that we could put tariffs on some of your goods if you don't help us out. Not only at our border, your northern, our southern border, but also at your southern border with Central American countries, that you need to stop the flow starting from that point. And it has stopped. Some of these migrants have said they came here only because of Biden. They didn't expect they'd get in under Trump. They made that very clear, and it's obvious. Some of them have said that they started the journey when the election's underway, because it looked like they thought Trump was going to win. And certainly by the time the final ballot, whatever you want to count that, since we went back and forth for a while, took place, not even the certification, that was in January, they were already en route in December. So they could be there on Inauguration Day and start over. And you heard Mayorkas say this issue can be difficult for these kids and families, so we're encouraging them, don't come, until we have everything ready. Until we have everything ready, says, well, they may change their mind, so I need to get up there and hurry. No wonder the families are confused. And it's not just Republicans and talk show hosts like Larry Connors, USA, attacking them. It's also Democrats. In fact, they have to admit it's not working. And a perfect example would be Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas. And she's basically admitting the Biden plan is a failure.
We have a situation that is a humanitarian concern. We do have issues with any number of children. The numbers are coming up. But I will say that the Biden administration has met with members of Congress. They have a plan. The plan does not look like it's working at this time, but you have to get it implemented.
The plan is not working at this time. But we had to get it implemented. So you don't really have a plan implemented, right? I don't understand. Do you? I mean, it's very confusing. If it's confusing for us here, you have to know it's confusing for them. And Sheila Jackson Lee wants you to know all of this is about everything we're doing is to protect the kids. Please listen.
Well, what the administration is saying is that they're not going to cage children. They're not going to turn children back to their death. They're not going to have young girls, 13 years old, subject to rape and pillage. And so it does look a little unseemly.
Unseemly? That's a very kind word, unseemly. It looks dangerous. When she said we're not going to subject these girls to rape and so forth, let me let you hear from Congressman Jimenez of Texas, and he was at one of those border stations. He's a Republican. Here's what he saw.
Look, what I saw at that Customs and Border Protection facility, hundreds and hundreds of children, boys and girls, and I'm talking boys and girls. I'm not talking 17, 16. I'm really talking boys and girls. I'm talking 5, 6, 7. They come across the border by themselves. They have little pieces of paper telling them call so-and-so and address. But here's the thing. A lot of these girls, young girls, are being molested. Maybe up to 30% are being molested.
They're being molested en route to get here. Sheila Jackson Lee, won't you believe what we as the Biden administration are doing is protecting the children. We do it for their health. And you got to keep in mind the numbers they are carrying with them, phone numbers, maybe a relative, maybe another drug trafficker. Stop to think about that. What about the family that would send their child on such a journey? They had to know the child was going to be subjected to a lot before they ever got to the States. Then they may or may not get in. They may not even survive to get here. And the New York Times. I got my morning slap in the face from the Times this morning. And I really like this slap. It basically admits that Democrats have an immigration problem. We'll explain coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we are being denied reporters, journalists to go inside and document how these people are being handled at these border facilities in Texas and elsewhere. Well, a Democrat congressman said, I'll just take some pictures. And he did. We're talking about Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar. And, of course, he has his jurisdiction along the border. And when his pictures, when I look at some of these pictures, you see them basically in clear pens is what they're describing it. In other words, see-through. It has no chain link, I guess, that I can see. But maybe there's sheets of plastic separating them to some extent. But they're sleeping on pads on the floor with aluminum blankets. In some cases, they're sharing. Some have individual pens. Most appear to be wearing masks. And another picture shows them kind of gathering around, and there's just, I mean, there's a massive number. If you want social distancing, there ain't no social distancing, not even the 3 feet for schools that CDC now says. Yeah, that's why they don't want you to see what's going on. They cannot social distance because they've got them crowded way beyond the limit. Now, today I got my slap in the face from the New York Times. This is the thing I get every, I sign up for this in the morning. I get it. Bang, wake up, Larry. This from David Linhart, of New York Times, and his title today, Good Morning, Larry. Well, it doesn't say Larry, but I have to add my name. I feel it's personal. Good morning, Larry. We explain the Biden administration's early struggles on immigration policy. Oh, I'd like to hear that. The title, The Democrats' Immigration Problem. Oh, so they're using that word. And went on to say that for most of the past few decades, the Dems had a pretty clear stance on immigration, a mix of enforcement like border security, deportation of undocumented immigrants who commit serious crimes, and new pro-immigrant laws like an increase in legal immigration and a pathway to citizenship for undocumented. That's what they were doing in the past. In recent years, however, a growing number of immigration advocates and progressive Democrats are not happy with that combination. So they want more. They want more. That's why we have what we do. And the surge appears to, according to him, the New York Times writer, appears to have surprised the Biden administration. They just didn't know. Some Democrats apparently also unhappy, stating, according to Congressman Vincent Gonzalez of Texas, this is incentivizing droves of people to come, and the only way to slow down is by changing our policy at our doorstep. And it basically comes down to a conclusion. It all stems from the fact that the Democratic Party no longer has a clear policy on immigration. Of course they don't. They're still looking at votes. And American citizens are being denied and ignored at this time. And by the way, if you are a minority citizen in this nation, you're not in favored status with the Democrats compared to these illegals. You're not. I don't care if you're brown yourself or black or yellow or red. They are getting preferential treatment. They're getting preferential attention. You, not so much. Think about it. Where's all their attention, their effort? Not on you. It's on the illegals. And yet the, quote, education, strike that, make the word, indoctrination of our children continues in the schools. This is a sordid story. But you need to know what's happening in our schools for today and tomorrow. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, when you look at what our kids are getting in school nowadays, and we had a detailed discussion last week on it, some of these programs, the critical race theory teaching and ethics codes, which basically rewrite ethics in general, it's scary. Now, you know, if you have a grade schooler, they come home, you ask them what they did. Well, they'll probably quickly tell you, oh, we colored, we did this, do that. Junior high, they get a little bit more, not much, and maybe they'll discuss something. High schoolers, you just don't get much out of them. Believe me, I know. Picking up girls after high school one day, what'd you do today? Nothing really. Really? Well, of course they did something, but they just become quieter. They don't want to share, and they want to move on. They don't want to discuss school. They're out of it. They're done with it. Like many of us, we walk away from our job, like think, I'm not even going to talk about it. I've spent all day doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. Except for me. Somebody wants to start something over this program, I'll get right back into it with them. But we have to look at what's happening and how kids are being punished if they don't fit the mode. I'll give you a perfect example. Our boots on the ground, Anthony in Chicago, called this to my attention. I would have overlooked this when I don't see the source. I had it on here and I lost it, but he picked it up. I think it was the Washington Post. I could be wrong. Anyway, talking about a biracial high school student in a Nevada charter school. biracial, in a Nevada charter school. He was challenged to label himself as either privileged or oppressed. They had a racial identity test. You had to decide, are you privileged or are you oppressed? According to the classroom instruction, he would be an oppressor. This student, William Clark, is now a senior applying to colleges. He sued his school in federal court for subjecting him to the social justice curriculum. He says it violates my belief that all people are equal in the eyes of God. It offended William. His mother is black, his late father was white, and yet it's increasingly common in classrooms. More, not just upper school, but K through 12 are adopting that type of curriculum based on the critical race theory, which is teaching our young that the nation's legal and governance systems are inherently racist and retain economic and political power for white people by opposing people of color. This school, the Andre Agassi College Prep Academy in Clark County, I guess the tennis player contributed or something. Anyway, it replaced a civics education course that taught about democracy with critical race theory under a course titled Society of Change. Society of Change. Based on teachings from a Kimberly Crenshaw, or I think it's Kimberly Crenshaw, a black feminist political activist who teaches critical race theory at Columbia University and the University of California, L.A., with a focus on oppression and discrimination against minority women. So even women, if you are a minority woman, you have to accept the fact you're always being oppressed and discriminate against. Some of the assignments that William had to deal with told students that, quote, reverse racism is not real. Well, I'm going to agree with that. There is no reverse racism. Racism is racism. You're going to have reverse racism. It's either racism or it's not. But then he goes on to say that racism equals prejudice plus power. Therefore, those of color cannot be racist. The teacher would greet the class every day by calling the students her wonderful social justice warriors. So William decided he was not going to do the coursework. He got a D minus in the class, well below the grade needed to improve his chances of getting into college. And now his lawsuit claims that he has suffered severe mental and emotional distress as a result of defendant's actions and the hostile environment created by official actions. I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, it's his case, and certainly he might get something out of it. I think you're forcing this kind of stuff when you're telling kids you have to decide if you're oppressed or not, and he didn't do the work. If you don't do the work, you're going to get not a good grade, but what kind of work are you being forced to do? So they'll have to sort that out. Now, within the midst of all of that, let me bring another story to your attention. This is in Naperville, Illinois. Many might know that Naperville is just a western suburb of Chicago. Has a network of passive bridges along the banks of the river. A lot of folks like that. Very nice area. And that is the Naperville School District. And the Naperville School District in Illinois, and we keep hearing these schools are struggling, right? They paid a diversity consultant, Dina Nicole Simmons, $10,500 for a 60-minute Zoom keynote address last month. You break it down, that's at a rate of $175 per minute. $175 per minute. The anti-racism consultant earned the equivalent, according to this article, of about 2 months' salary for some of the teachers in that district. I wonder how those teachers feel about that. Now, this is written by a former Wall Street Journal reporter. And she said, this event, which did first appear in the Federalist, I do remember seeing it back last month, did raise alarm bells when a whistleblower said Simmons told attendees, quote, our education is based on a foundation of whiteness. and that Americans are, quote, spiritually murdering students. And again, she told attendees, if you're not anti-racist, then you are racist. Now, according to the outline that was provided in the publicly released documents, she founded an organization called Liberated Ed, LLC. Talking points in her lecture, Thriving to Surviving, from the playbook of critical race theory. And again, that's the divisive ideology that we have being pushed upon us as we have our kids having to, you have to decide if you're an oppressor or oppressed. I mean, causing division inside the classroom. The kids were getting along fine. Some of them play on a basketball team together or a football team or baseball team. They're fine. And yet, in the classroom, you got to decide if you're oppressed or you're oppressing. And they want to pay out $175 a minute for a Zoom keynote address for someone like that? I remember years ago, and I'm talking maybe back in the mid-80s, at a television station I worked for. It was owned by CBS. And someone in CBS in the mid-80s decided what we need is to have a diversity consultant go to each of our stations. And I sat there and watched that, and my co-anchor, a black male, he watched it, and we walked out, and he was shaking his head and said, what a waste of time. And I said, yeah. I said, but we're supposed to all learn something from it. But the bottom line is, I'm thinking what I really need to do is get out of broadcasting and start my own diversity teaching course. Why not? And I even mentioned that to my co-anchor. He said, well, I don't think they'd hire you, but maybe I should. Since I'm black, they'll buy my story. Now, you got another example of Fairfax County Public Schools last summer, Northern Virginia. They paid out something like $44,000 to someone else who bills himself as an anti-racist guru, Ibrahim Kendi. $20,000 for a one-hour virtual lecture. And then another $24,000 because they bought copies of his book to give to high school students, making it required reading. The writer of this article, again, who's also written for the Wall Street Journal, Asra Nomani, says as school districts like Naperville and others are failing to return students to school, parents protesting for a return to in-person learning, they're still pursuing divisive political agendas. She quotes an angry parent at the local school board earlier this month saying, you will all be replaced. The contract, by the way, with the person that showed up at Naperville stated the services are outside of Naperville School District ordinary course of education, but wanted her expertise and experience. And let me read very quickly, see if you can understand what she's trying to say at one of her courses. That it's loaded with gibberish. You must feel to be safe who you are. You must love yourself. As a result, our leadership instruction assessment must foster psychological, emotional safety through emotional intelligence, cultural responsibility, anti-racist practices. During the session, you'll explore imposter syndrome, emotional intelligence, culturally relevant pedagogy, anti-racist practices. We will discuss the intersection of emotionally intelligent and culturally relevant practices can create equitable and welcoming communities. My God, blah, 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 blah. The Naperville School District spent $10,000 for that. Somebody up there, somebody needs some splaining. Needs to be some splaining. Coming up, Joe Biden needs to splain his news conference, not.
Soldier, is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as we were saying earlier, you've got Joe Biden still not, you know, not having a news conference. But I told you the other day, at least the word from the White House the other day, was March 25th. Have you marked it on your calendar? March 25th. Well, let me see. Would that be, what is today? Let me check here. This is March 22nd. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Would that be Thursday? If my ciphering is correct, we'll wait and see. But the fact it's gone on this long without an official press conference means we're you have reporters asking questions they choose to ask and they don't have to submit them in advance. Days of Jim Acosta accosting Acosta are over, at least with the Biden administration. Of course, he would never go after Biden anyway. Now, there's a guy who just suddenly has disappeared, isn't it? Because he doesn't anybody to attack anymore. But reporters are getting very upset with this. And even mainstream or state-controlled media reporters. One correspondent is being quoted as, who are we kidding here? More than 2 months without a press conference? Come on! CNN published an article today and it has a headline. Reporters call out Biden administration for lack of transparency at the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, again, we talked about that earlier because they're not allowing journalists to go in and see things of this nature. And it also then highlighted members of the mainstream media who are sick of the lack of access to both Biden and the crisis along the border. And one of them said, who's a Getty Images special correspondent, John Moore, he said, I have photographed Customs Border Patrol under Bush, Obama, and Trump, but now zero access granted to the media. The Radio, Television, Digital News Association also stated the lack of information and collaboration from the Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security creating a vacuum of sorts. That's true. No information. And Biden is to hold his first formal news conference Thursday afternoon. See, I was right. I did my ciphering right. Thursday afternoon. I don't know. Maybe underway while we're on the air. I don't plan on carrying it live if he is. I'm sorry. We'll wait and see what comes out of it. Now, if he stumbles or falls on the way in, I assume that'll make some coverage. And, of course, the pictures of him last week trying to go up the steps of Air Force One, I did post them, but I stressed that you keep in mind that Gerald Ford had done that. In fact, it became a part of a stunt for Chevy Chase on SNL at that time, Saturday Night Live. Vice President Pence stumbled coming out of Air Force Two. Obama has stumbled. So you don't want to make too big of a deal out. And I told you again, that's not like walking up more than two flights of stairs straight up, no stop. So I want to give him some credit, you know, and not just make a big deal out of it. But there were concerns. Which reminds me of a joke. I'll try to get to it if I can here in a moment. But the Elizabeth Wolf, who is a feminist, was talking on a commentary show over the weekend, Dr. Naomi Wolf, I'm sorry, and she's concerned about Biden's current state of health and implications for U.S. national security. She said, I was so eager to see the end of the Trump era that I hope for better decisions. What I've seen is a complete erosion of First Amendment and Fourth Amendment rights. And then she goes on to say that she's a little concerned about his health. And she even expressed regret voting for him because he's been open to these lockdowns and so forth. And that stumbling video, she said, well, that certainly does raise some questions about his health. All right, the joke. It was circulating over the weekend. You might have seen it. Biden is on the phone with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know we got nuclear missiles. And Kim Jong-un responds, yeah, well, we've got stairs. I thought it was funny. All right, maybe you did. I'm cutting him still some slack. I don't think that's necessarily an indicator of any health issue, but glad he didn't actually take a fall all the way down. Coming up in the next hour, what we have, be you call it a crisis, a circumstance, as they are now trying to use it on the Biden administration, it is causing a lot of issues, and not just on the border, but what happens inside our nation. Did you think slavery had been wiped out in this nation? If you thought so, you're going to find out that it has not been wiped out. There are many of these illegals that are coming across. They cannot pay fully, so they're going to have to work it off once they get here. And there are, quote, those inside our country already who will enforce that they get the payment. And for women, in particular, the easiest, fastest way is to become a prostitute. And for children, to be a sex toy. And for men, some of them might have to go that route as well. They are creating a new level of slavery in this nation. The cartels helping these illegals get across, they want to be paid in full, and they will, or you will pay. That story coming up in the next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.